But we know that contractors are going to get killed. If those guys are wearing fatigues, but not government issued, and their boots on the ground, and they have weapons in their hands or at the other end of their computers, they're fair game.
Oh, absolutely. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about potential attacks on our satellites in space, as well as attacks on aircraft, manned or unmanned, that are part of this intelligence surveillance reconnaissance complex, because that's really at heart of what keeps the Ukrainians even in the game.
Right.
There's not much left on the ground as far as an army is concerned. That's in ruins.
The clip
last week, they lost 13,000 men. Oof. This is the sort of thing that happens at the end of a war when an army is collapsing and retreating. That's when most of the damage occurs. You lose more people during a retreat than you do in a stand-up battle. So this is effectively over on the ground. I'm sure the Russians will advance when they feel comfortable doing so. The real question is, how much damage do they do to what I just described, to our intelligence surveillance reconnaissance complex? I hope that people are more thoughtful than they've been thus far and will keep at least our manned aircraft out of range. But as the Russians advance towards the west, towards that river, they'll be able to take more and more things under fire and destroy them. That's the concern that I have.
Switching gears to Israel, here's Prime Minister Netanyahu's latest. I won't even characterize it other than by saying he has a catalog of countries in there that he believes will soon be at war, and he blames everybody but Israel. This is just about an hour old, this clip, Colonel. So we'll play it for you. It's a little bit longer than a minute. I'd love your thoughts on it.
And Iran is fighting us on a seven-front war. Obviously, Hamas, Hezbollah, Houthis, the militias in Iraq and Syria, Judea, Samaria, West Bank, Iran itself. They'd like to topple Jordan. And their goal is to have a combined ground offensive from various fronts, coupled with a combined missile bombardment. We have to, we've been given the opportunity to scuttle it, and we will. The first requirement is to cut that hand, Hamas. People who do this thing to us are not going to be there. And we'll have a long battle. I don't think it's that long, but we'll get rid of them. We also have to deter the other elements of the Iran terror axis. But we have to deal with the axis. The axis doesn't threaten only us. It threatens you. It's on the march to conquer the Middle East. Conquer the Middle East. Conquer. That means actually conquer. Conquer Saudi Arabia, conquer the Arabian Peninsula. It's just a question of time. And what's standing in their way is the small Satan, that's us, on the road to the middle-sized Satan, that's the Europeans. They're always offended when I tell them that. You're the great Satan, not them. Okay. And we have to stop them.
I don't know what to make of that, Colonel. What do you think?
He's beginning to sound like Ahab in Moby Dick. He's on a doomed whale hunt. He's beginning to see enemies everywhere.
Right.
Doesn't seem to understand that he's precipitated the emergence of this coalition against him. It's his actions as the Israeli offensive that's being launched in Hamas, against Hamas. Now the very high probability that they will attack Hezbollah that is convincing everyone in the region to turn against him. The Saudis, like the other ruling elites in the Arab world right now, are very concerned about being removed by their own people because the populations are enraged. This is certainly true in Jordan. I think King Abdullah is hanging on by his fingernails. He's got millions of Palestinians in his country that are appalled at what's being done to their fellow Palestinians on the other side of the Jordan River. You've got General Sisi, who is apoplectic. We have been bribing him, willing to forgive his $180 billion debt, national sovereign debt, in return for taking in the Palestinian Arabs that are being driven out of Gaza. He's incapable of doing it. He understands that if he does that, he's going to be seen as a traitor to his own people. And that's a pretty good description of the way many Egyptians feel about him at this point. Mm. Everything is coming apart in the region. And as you point out, he's blaming it on everything and everybody but himself and the actions of his own country. And it's very interesting when he attributes this desire by the Iranians to conquer the region. The Iranians are not equipped to conquer anything. They can't project their own military power very far at all. They build up the arsenal of rockets and missiles, much like Hezbollah, for the same reason, to deter the Israelis. But they can't march into anything and conquer anything. So the only people in the region who are capable of conquering very much right now, at least their neighbors, is Israel. And they are viewed as waging this war for Jewish supremacy in the region. It's entertaining to listen to his description as, once again, the permanent victim. And that's something that he keeps insisting is the case, that he and Israel together are permanent victims. But right now, the rest of the region and the rest of the Islamic world sees them as the offending force. They see their own people being murdered and turned into victims. They don't agree with the Israeli assessment. And we are standing behind Israel, continuing to provide unconditional support for whatever Mr. Netanyahu wants to do. And unfortunately, at this point, it seems to be a willingness to destroy the entire region. To
In the meantime, Phil Giraldi reports from a source that the Israelis have used phosphorus to destroy an entire village of people in Lebanon. I wonder if we paid for it. I wonder if we supplied it.
Well, we do have white phosphorus in our inventory. Normally, we use it to mark a target as opposed to burn down a village, but it can be used for that purpose. White phosphorus is terrible. I mean, I've seen people with holes in their arms where a very small droplet of white phosphorus fell on a soldier's arm, and you could literally see right through the arm. The arm was melted in most respects. I mean, it's a horrible weapon. So I can understand why people would be horrified by that. But at this point, if you're an Israeli, you take the position you are the permanent victim. The world is against you, and anything you do to anyone who is your enemy is justified. I mean, this was surprising to me to listen to the former chief of defense in Israel, Benny Gantz, make the comment that, well, we haven't been able to destroy Hamas, but we think we can destroy Hezbollah's capabilities in the space of a few days.
Isn't that absurd?
The only way that could happen is with the use of tactical nuclear weapons.